And those that are staying here can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. My daughter Linda is going to have a birthday this week. She's going to turn 29 for the 16th time. look at 1 Corinthians 10. Look at verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Look at verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let's pray. Lord, you've been very good to us. We are of all people the most blessed physically and financially, and probably with health and other things. And Lord, you spiritually blessed us. We have in a country of freedom, have the Bible in our hands, opportunity to freely preach it. Thank you. Forgive us, Lord, of our stupidity, our failures, our sins, and help us, Lord, to walk pleasing to you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter, as we've studied a while, he says, I don't want you ignorant how you compare to Israel in the past. And that they were a church, they were the people of God, they were blessed, they had privileges, they had gifts, and look what happened to them. That's what he's saying to you. And two or three times he says here, examples or ensamples, types. What he's saying is, you can look at the Old Testament and see God. God hadn't changed. Sometimes we think the God of the Old Testament is very different than the God of the New Testament. That's not true. And how God treated Israel, he's going to treat the church. I believe the basic intent of this chapter is Paul is telling the Corinthian church, you can't live in sin and get away with it. You look at them, they were the people of God, they were baptized, they ate spiritual meat, they drank spiritual drink. And look what happened to them, man, they were destroyed, they died in the wilderness. Everybody but two men over 20 years old that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness. Who went in the promised land? Their children. And their grandchildren went into the promised land. And he said, they're examples. What did he say there in verse 6? Now these things were our ensamples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We have a loose society, and we're in it. We're part of it. We watch the same television programs, the same movies. We go to the same sports events. We have the same sports heroes. We all want to make money. We all think the American dream is everybody's got to have a big house and a good car and two or three Cadillacs and die comfortable. We're in a scary position. And those of us that understand good Bible doctrine, just read this book and believe it. Say, I'm saved. What else matters? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Well, I would say that's the biggest decision you can ever make, and the best decision you could ever make was to accept Christ when he comes to you and touches your heart. But my friend, in this life, you can sure have a lot of troubles, and the Bible says you can shorten your life. You might say, God's got my time set down, figured out. Nothing I can do to change that. And you go stand in front of a train and say, I can't die. Well, he'll change your date. He'll just change your date. Or he might leave you alive as an idiot for 20 years. Now, what do you want? What do you want out of life? Well, I know you want a good job. I want you want a good education. You want to have a good life. And we have that around us all the time. And it's a goal for us. And I don't know that it's wrong
for it to be a goal or something you can attain. David was a very rich man. Solomon, a very rich man. Abraham, a very rich man. If you got 318 soldiers out of your family, you're a rich man. You supporting that many? Abraham was a rich man. But these were men of faith. And I'm not too sure they live for their riches. Seems to me like their primary purpose was to please God. What's your primary purpose? Well, I know and I've seen a lot of Christian people that got to lusting after evil things. And I've lived long enough to see the results. I've seen families doing absolutely great, and they just wouldn't listen. And they had to go after these things that the world's got and it's showing. And to me, they were evil. To me, they were dangerous. To me, I didn't want them for my family. I didn't want them for my children. Didn't want them for my church. And they thought I was absolutely nuts. But in a few years' time, all that money and all that house and all of that stuff didn't do them any good. You can't mess with God. You say, I'm baptized, I'm spiritual, I read the Bible, I pray, I win souls. Well, you better not lust after evil things with it. Because he said, with many of them, God was not well pleased. They all came out of Egypt, they were all saved, they all went through the baptism in the Red Sea and under the cloud. They all ate the spiritual food, manna, they all drank the spiritual rock water of Christ. That rock was Christ. They all did that. They were God's people with special privileges. He owned them as his people. Just like he does you. Just like he does you. But if you decide you can ignore God because you're saved, you decide you can ignore God because you got a long life to live, you're going to sow your wild oats while you got your opportunity. You're going to pay for it. I have a belief from reading this book. I think I can back it up. Everything's going to be made right one day. May not be here. It may be there. But I'll tell you what I've seen. I've seen a whole lot of it right here. That old saying, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That works in farming. It works in financial things. It works in moral things, spiritual things. What I sow is what I'm going to reap in my life. Now, what do you want to reap? You're going to reap. The ground's going to put forth. If you plant crops on it, it'll bring your crops back. If you don't do anything, God's going to put weeds on it. Weeds and grasses and trees and brushes. The ground is going to bring forth. Your life is going to bring forth. You are going to reap the result of your thinking and of your actions. That's what he's trying to tell you. And he said, they were examples. Well, good night. What were the examples he gave us? He gave us four. He said, many of them God was not well pleased. In verse 5, they were our examples. Verse 6, verse 7, idolatry. And listen to how he describes it. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Isn't that your house? That's my house. That's sort of scary. Hey, let's have a barbecue and let's do this and let's do that. Well, is there anything wrong with it? No, I don't think there is, but you better be careful what you put first before God. Have your barbecue some other time than when you're having meetings at the church. Do you fishing some other time than when we're having meetings at the church? I don't think God cares about you being a fisherman. I think he was a fisherman himself. He caught more than all of them. He just said, cast your net on the right side of the boat and I'll fill your net. He knew how to fish. I never did catch them that way. Sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither commit fornication. This is a generation of fornication. It is in every magazine article, it is in every movie, it is in every TV show, it's all over. And right here in San Antonio, we have one of maybe the highest rate of any city of teenage pregnancies, unmarried. This city right here, somebody correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think it was just this last year, we were number one in the nation of big cities, the percentage of teenage girls that were pregnant. That's not telling how many committing fornication, that's how many got caught. You think you can do what the world does and get away with it because you're a Christian and you got blessings of God? According to this chapter, you can't. You can't afford. You ought to be afraid of sin. Are you afraid of a rattlesnake? I am. I walk out there in my barn and I'm looking around. I'm moving the bales of hay and I look at them. I shove them a little bit at a time. I don't just stick my hand down in there and say, whoopee, bite me if you like. Do you know what? One out of eight people bitten by rattlesnake dies. One out of eight. That's just 12.5%. It's really not a big thing for us to be so scared of. And by the way, I've been living there 16 years. I cleared all the brush that's been cleared, except for some help from different ones at times. And I've never run onto a rattlesnake on my place. Now, that's not because I'm living good. That's just the luck of the draw. But if you're afraid of a rattlesnake, you really ought to be afraid of sin. God didn't make a rule that says 12.5% of people who are bitten rattlesnakes are going to have to die. He didn't make that as a rule. But I tell you what, he did make a rule. Be sure your sin will find you out. Christian or non-Christian, church member, Sunday school teacher, pastor. We hear about it all the time. I'm scared. I walk scared. I don't want God to have to come down on me and my family because of my stupidity, my lust, my sin. I read about 70-year-old pastors committing adultery. Losing their ministry. Just recently, there was a crackerjack of a preacher out in California. Good night, that man. I said, man, I like him. I listened to him almost every Sunday morning coming to church. Unless I was preaching, I didn't want his message getting in my head. And I wouldn't listen to him. And bless his heart, good church, tremendous ministry, a real Bible preacher. This guy was for real. He was no fake. And he gets caught in adultery, loses his church, maybe loses his family. Who knows what all. It isn't worth it. You need to be afraid of sin. You need to avoid sin like you would a rattlesnake or a shark. Yes. Yes. Or a stingray or an octopus. Yes. Or a killer whale. Yes. But you don't. You know what the one thing you're not afraid of? You're not afraid of sin. You're not afraid of lust. That's the most dangerous thing about you. You're not afraid. You know how many people in my life, I've been dealing with people 52 years as a preacher. I'm going to be 53 next month, so. I don't know how many people tell me, you don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm doing. I can control it. I've had alcoholics tell me, I can quit anytime I want to. I said, that's probably right, but you don't want to. When are you going to want to? What this chapter is teaching us, the big, major issue is you cannot get away with sin. Even though you are the church of the living God, the Bible says judgment will begin at the house of God. What do you think that means? God takes care of his own people. Now, I was a pretty harsh disciplinarian, maybe too harsh, I don't know, raising my five kids. I was harder on my older ones than I was my younger ones, but I wasn't easy on my younger ones. And when you think about that, what you wanted to do, how you wanted them to grow up, what a disappointment it would be if they didn't grow up the way that you wanted them to do, where they could have a good life. God is a much better father than I am. Now, I spanked my kids until they got to a certain age. Then I let them write the book of Proverbs. Interesting Discipline. Somebody said, you make them hate the book. Nah, Billy wrote it two or three times, I think. He loved it. He wrote it more than anybody else, I'll tell you that. Here's our example. And he lists these examples. I didn't get quite through them last week. I got down to the last one. But we had the example of idolatry, fornication, tempting Christ, destroyed the serpents. Now, verse 10, neither murmur ye. Did you hear that? Yeah. Everybody in this room is guilty right here. Nagging, complaining, and some other words I won't use. All the time. You are so privileged, so blessed, have everything going your way so much, you got to complain in the summer when it's hot. It's supposed to be hot. Before we had air conditioning, hot didn't bother us. We stayed outside till 10 o'clock. You didn't want to go in a hot house. There was no air conditioning. And if you were a rich guy, you might have owned a fan. I bought the first nice fan for my family. My wife, my mother sent me to town, and I picked it out and brought it back home on the bus. I was big enough to do that before we had a fan in the house. I remember laying in the bed at night, and I'd pull myself. The houses were built with windows all around. And there were windows that opened. There were windows that opened. And I'd have all the windows opening, and it'd be 11 or 12 o'clock at night, and I'd have my pillow on the windowsill there, and my head right out close to the screen, just far as I could get it, hoping for a breeze. Right now, if the air conditioning goes out, you're going to have a divorce. If the lighting doesn't work just well, I'll complain and complain and complain. Don't we complain? And how the pastor treated me. Oh, get over it. Amen. Who made you so special anyway? Who did? I know a lot of these churches, they treat everybody like they were a king. I'm sorry, I'm not good with babies. I don't handle a bottle real well, or one of those stoppers they put in their mouth. I don't change diapers real well. I've done all those things, but not much. I had a wife. In fact, I was in a revival meeting, and we went out to eat, and there's this woman, she really didn't like me. I'd preached on the home already, how a wife's supposed to be obedient to her husband, and so on and so forth. And so she was very antagonistic to me. It was a church Eddie was going to, and I was holding a revival there back when he was in service. He said, okay, now we've got this done. We've had a good meal, and you preachers are going to wash the dishes. I said, I wish you'd have told me that. I'd have brought my wife. Ooh, that made her mad, but I didn't wash dishes. Now, I might have volunteered to wash dishes if she hadn't been such a murmur and a complainer. I washed plenty of dishes in my life. But my wife washed a lot more. What does he say here? Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. You go around complaining instead of praising. You ought to be praising instead of complaining. Are you saved? Are you born again? Are your sins forgiven? Is God your Father? Are you headed for heaven? What are you doing complaining? That ought to cancel out everything. No matter what your physical troubles are, I know everybody's got physical troubles, some of them worse than others. I don't think you have a reason to complain, not if you're thinking right about the Bible. You got a reason to praise God. You got a reason to thank God. Are you saved? Do you have a Bible in your hands? Are you a member of a living church of the living God? Man, you ought to have praise on your mouth. Neither murmur ye. Did you realize how much God dislikes that? Here they are. He has heard their prayers. He has sent a deliverer.
He has performed 10 fantastic miracles. He has brought them out with the riches of the Egyptians. They're the fourth or fifth or sixth generation, whatever it would be. If you consider a generation 100 years, they're the fourth generation or whatever, but they have all this wealth. They've got all these cattle. They've got all the stuff. They've got a pillar of cloud in the daytime leading them, moving, and they follow it. They've got a pillar of fire at night protecting them at night and giving them light. They've got angels' food on the ground. What'd you bring us out here in the desert for? To die? Wish we could go back and be slaves. How stupid can you be? But when we look at them, do you ever apply it to yourself? How stupid can we be? We're not on the bright side of the patch, I want you to know. And especially when we're doing all this complaining. God despises it. You may think, that's just the way I act. No, God despises it. He doesn't like your complaining. He does not like your murmuring. God gives you a man that gives you a real message from God, and what do you do about it? Too loud, too long, too much, too this, too that. I've been too much as long as I can remember. That's all right. I'm me. Like me? I hope you do. Dislike me? Won't change a bit. Won't change me one bit. But you better be careful. If God sent the message in a very ugly messenger, you better not worry about the messenger. You better get the message. You better not murmur and complain that he didn't have the right clothes or he didn't do this, didn't do that. We had one of our preachers we sent out to a little church that called me and said, do you have a preacher that could come out and fill in for us? And I said, sure, I've got one. So I sent Mark Jones. And Mark's a pretty good preacher. And he dresses up in a suit. He looks good and whatever, you know, and he's a nice fellow. And they didn't want him back. And I said, why? Well, it was Veterans Day, and he didn't thank the Lord for the veterans, or he didn't mention the veterans. Well, why didn't you get a deacon to stand up and mention the veterans? Here's a preacher comes in, don't even know what you're doing. How? That church doesn't deserve a preacher. That's what I feel about it. Don't ask me again. I'm not sending another young man out there to be ridiculed by you idiots. Murmuring about the men of God. Now, if that man doesn't preach the Word of God, if that man's not true to the Word of God, if that man doesn't have good doctrine, yes, you reject him.
That's right, amen.
But if he's got good doctrine, he can present it where you understand it, and he has a desire to do it, you better listen, and you better thank God you got one. How many places out here don't even have a preacher? There are churches all over this town, all over this country, never had one surrender to preach or one to go to the mission field. You're in a place with great gifts. You better appreciate your gifts. I thank God for every one of our missionaries and every one of our preachers. I thank God for all you missionaries that come back. Your gifts to this church. Thank the Lord for you. Oh, bless your heart. Don't murmur. Practice praise. Practice thanksgiving. Why don't you, what is this? If four or five of you would just say, I am going to, every time I want to murmur, I am going to say something good about God or what God's done for me.
Amen.
We'd have a revival.
Amen. Amen.
God would be pleased. You know, if your kids come up to you and they complain about what you're doing or how you're treating them and how you're being unfair, you're doing this. It makes you mad. When they come up to you and say, thank you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. Even after you spanked them, they come up and say, I love you, Daddy. That makes you just get all tingly all over. Hair stand up on the back of your neck. You got some joy there. What do you think God thinks? Everything doesn't go your way. You'd suffer a great loss. Wouldn't it be nice to just thank God for it? Because it couldn't have gotten to you without his permission. He may not have sent it to you, but he allowed it to come. And he did it for a reason, and you can't understand that reason. I look back on my life, and I know I talk like an old man. I am an old man. I look back on my life at things that were great disappointments to me. I felt let down. I felt a time or two, I was mad at God a time or two in my life, and told him so. You know what? From my point of view here, this little hill I'm on right now, looking back, I am so thankful for my life. God knew better than me what was good for me. I didn't know. I thought I knew, but I didn't know. Thanksgiving and praise instead of murmuring and complaining. If God gives you manna, get Mrs. Moses' book on 2001 Ways of Cooking Manna and be happy with it. Don't complain that you don't have what the world has. You don't want what the world has. The world's not happy with it. We got Mel Gibson. He's in the news now. All of it. I don't know what Mel Gibson has to be in the news all the time, but if he's just known, but this guy has made multiple millions of dollars. He's just supporting five or six families real well. All those divorces, you know. And he's got him a 20-year-old on the side, you know. And he's not happy with her. They're not happy. Money will not bring you happiness. It will not do it. Well, let's go on. I keep camping there. Look at verse 11 again. Now all, you notice the all, there's several alls in this chapter. Y'all look at the alls. All things, these things, happened unto them for in samples, and they're written for our admonition. Do you need to be admonished? Oh yeah, we always need it. Why do you think God made the church? What's a preacher supposed to do? Get up and say sweet things to you, or is he supposed to admonish you? He's supposed to crack the whip over your head when you're not doing right, and he's supposed to tell you when you're doing wrong, and he's supposed to encourage you to do right, and then try to keep a semblance of order. Now all these things are for our admonition, that we would be admonished. That we would be rebuked and encouraged and taught. That we'd see the wrong way. Isn't that what that is? Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they're written for our admonition. You ought to be reading them. You know why they got written down? For you. They're written down for you. This thought comes to me over and over again. There are many stories that are not in the Bible that I would like to know. Do you ever read something and all this is left out? What happened here? And God doesn't give it to you. Why? It didn't suit his purpose for your admonition.
That's right. Amen.
So what is there that you don't understand? Well, you better read it anyway.
That's right.
See, I don't like all those lists of names. So-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat. I just skip those chapters. I wouldn't. I just read everything's there. I've skipped them a few times too. But hey, they're all written for our admonition, for our learning. Look at what he says. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. If the apostles knew they were in the ends of the world, where do you think we are? I look around. You get old, you become something of a philosopher. Maybe not a great one, but something of a philosopher. I look at the world, we are in trouble. I can't help but think we're getting set up for some ruler who can control this stuff. Getting set up that one of these days I'm going to be walking down the road or walking out to feed my cows or my birds or my dog or something like that, and I'm going to go, whoop, hear a trumpet and go out of here. This thing is set up. I hope we come back out of it. I don't want
I don't want another depression. What we're going through right now is really bad. But this whole world looks like it's a tinderbox to me. It looks ripe. It looks ready. You're very close to meeting God. You may not have time to do what you plan to do. In all your great plans, you might meet God real soon. Why not pay a little attention to Him now? And when you're reading the Old Testament, think, could that happen to me? Could that happen to our generation? Could that happen to our church? Could that happen to our family? Hey, there were going to be a lot of Korahites, but Korah got killed. What happened to his generation? They all died. Now, nobody running around with his blood in them. There's nobody running around with his name on the back of them. He lost it. Somebody else might have got it, but he didn't get it. Why? He messed around with God's man. If it's God's man, don't mess with him. Now, all these things happen unto them for our ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now, look at verse 12. He's still dealing in the same area, the same subject. Wherefore, there's your conclusion. We've had a bunch of verses. In fact, we've had several chapters that have been dealing with somewhat similar situation here. You better learn from the Old Testament, because God won't put up with your sin. Now, what he says here, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. When you feel real secure, you are at the most dangerous spot you can be. When you think, I can walk into temptation and it won't get to me, I've got it whipped. I've made preparation. I'm a child of God. It'll never happen to me. You better be real careful. Thinketh he standeth. Man, I have heard some proud words come out of preachers' mouths and Christians' mouths. There's a little lady on an ad on television, and she's a fat little lady, and she comes on and she's had her bypass surgery. She makes a statement, now I'm going to see my grandchildren. Every time she makes that statement, I think, oh, I hope so for you, honey. But you haven't got any guarantee just because you got a lap band surgery. Just because you lost a little weight. I've seen a lot of skinny people die. Did you know that? I'm a fat man. I'm 73, almost 74 years old. How come I'm here? Because I've eaten right? Because I've exercised enough? No, the will of God. Time and chance happeneth to them all, and God's will. I must have something to do yet. Or I'm ready to go. I don't want to be here when I can't do anything. There is no temptation. No, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You've got to be careful. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how dedicated you are. I don't care how much you read your Bible. I don't care how much you pray. You don't go put yourself in temptation's way. You don't do it. You're an alcoholic, leave the preaching in the bars to somebody else. You just don't know. These things get us. Smoking, drinking, gambling, lust, pornography. You can get caught in these things. You think, I'm just a little bit. No, I know drug addicts that have ruined their lives. And what I was told was, I had a bad headache, and my friend said, this will make it feel good. That's how it started. Take a pill from a friend, and you ruin your life. You think you're standing? You think you're secure? You think you can go out and pet in the car and it won't end up in intercourse? You're probably real mistaken. You think you can date like this world does, you know, sex on the second date? You think you can do that and get away with it? Oh, yeah, we got the pill. We got oval rings. We got all sorts of things. They're only 99% sure. That's one out of 100 is going to get stuck. And the percentage is probably higher than that. You can't mess with these things. You think, what the way the movies and the stories, the novels, the articles, the guy that gets this sex from some other woman, this strange flesh, he's a winner. He's a loser. He set himself up to ruin his family, depress his children, ruin his own health and his own life, and be judged by God to boot. You can't get away with it. And this is a generation that's going to learn that. Don't you be one of them. Don't you be one of them. You think you stand? Well, keep praying. Avoid certain situations. Old Joseph, he's a pretty good man. You better than him? He said, I'm not staying here, I'm leaving. That's an embarrassing thing to do, to run out. That looks like a cowardly thing to do, to run out. No, that was a smart thing to do. Smart thing to do. You ought to run. Sometimes it's better to run than to fight. You ought to run. Okay, now look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. I know when your pain hits you, it's worse than anybody else has ever suffered in the world. When it's your pain. I know when you are frustrated by financial things that you are the poorest person that has ever lived. Nobody can understand your situation. I know when you are frustrated that you got the worst kids any mother ever had or any daddy ever had. You know that's not the truth, don't you? In all those things. You know what he says right here? What you're suffering, other people, I mean, it's a big deal. Other people all across the world are doing it like you. My wife quoted something to me just recently, said, I'll probably get it wrong, but don't even remember it.
Worse things have happened to better people.
Yes. Worse things have happened to better people. Can you tell yourself that? When it's black and dark. I mean, when you don't know which way to turn. I mean, when you are so discouraged and depressed, you're thinking of suicide. I mean, whatever. I got to go get drunk. Everything's just too bad. I got to go get on the drugs. I got to go back into the world. Worse things have happened to better people than you. Boy, I've read histories. History's one of my loves. I love biographies. I like, rather than reading a history book that tells me in one chapter how a certain generation lived and moved, I like to read several biographies of people that lived in that time. And biographies, you know, they're all slanted. Everything is slanted. When somebody writes something, even a historian, it's slanted. You got to recognize the slants of the people that are speaking to you. When I preach to you, I'm slanted. I am pro-Bible. I am pro-King James Bible. I'm pro-fundamental. And I'm more worried about pleasing God than I am pleasing you. There hath no temptation taking you but such as is common to men. Why are you complaining so much? Why is this such a big deal? You're not the only one. Hey, there are others, people better than you, worked harder than you, suffered more than you. What this ought to turn us into is praisers and thankers. We ought to be praisers and thankers. not complainers and murmurers and feeling like we've been specially singled out by God because we got diabetes or we got heart trouble or we're blind or deaf or whatever. So what? Are you still saved? Has the blood lost its power? Doesn't the blood still reach deeper than the stain is gone? How many times is he going to have to die for you? Just once. Never to be repeated. No Christ Mass on December 25th. No Christ Mass. Do words mean things? They do mean things. Now, the only offering of Christ was over 1,900 years ago. Close to 2,000 years ago. Your temptations are common. Do you really think that you're so spiritual that the devil knows your name? He singled you out. Now you may be. I don't know how spiritual you are. God pointed Job out to Satan. He didn't point me out, and he didn't point a lot of others out. I don't think he pointed you out. Now, what it says about Job was he was the greatest man in the East. He was the greatest, and he was a believer. He didn't even have a Bible. I don't think he even had an Old Testament. I don't think he had the law. But he's worshiping God. Now, Job's temptations, yeah, other people have had them. But many times, not all of them in the same bunch. I mean, he got an overload. Now, a few times, I have complimented myself, and I said, I'm a first cousin to Job. You ever feel that way? I'm Job's first cousin. No. Never happened. Never happened, man. I'm not even related. I'm not even in his family. Try Thanksgiving. Try thanking God for what you have instead of complaining for what you don't have. What you don't have may be a greater blessing to you than you can ever understand. You won't even think about it when you get to heaven. You think, I'm going to ask God when I get up there. Now, you'll forget that question. It isn't that important. It isn't that big. Who cares if you don't know? What if you don't get the boyfriend you want? Somebody else gets him. Is the world over? The last time I looked, there were 3 billion men and 3 billion women out there. Thereabouts. When I was in high school, I called up a girl and she didn't want to go with me for whatever reason. I didn't lay down and cry. Even if I thought she was my first choice. I had a little book with other addresses and telephone numbers in it. Now, I didn't tell the girl I called she was second one or third one I'd called that week. But I went out and had a good time. If Verlene hadn't married me, some poor sucker would have. Hey, it's not the end of the world. You don't have to compromise to get what you want. You don't have to go Satan's way to get what you want. You don't have to play the world's game to get what you want if you want to please God. And you want a good life. You want something you can look back on and say, thank you, Lord, for a wonderful life. No temptation taken you but such is common to man. Now, this is a tremendous verse. Probably don't have time to finish it today, but we'll go as far as we can. God is faithful. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. Now, when you're down and complaining, you don't believe that. Is that right? What'd you bring us out in the desert for? Just to kill us? God, I'm being mistreated. How come I don't have what I want? I want this, I want that. Is God faithful? But is he faithful on the day you don't get the answers to your prayers? Is he faithful on the day your child dies? Is he faithful on the day your wife or husband dies? Is he faithful on the day when your children disappoint you? Is he still faithful when your husband or your wife disappoint you? Is God still faithful? That is a tremendous statement dropped right in the middle of that chapter. Talk about doctrine. There's a doctrine. God is faithful. Now, boy, that's true. God is faithful. How faithful has he been to you? Can you count the ways? I know the poets have said so, but I'm talking about you. Can you count the ways God has proven himself faithful to you? Wow. I guarantee you, if you start counting them, you'll end up praising instead of complaining. You'll thank God for your light afflictions. What did Paul say? Our light affliction. For a temporary time. Our light affliction. I mean, the guy faced lions. He was out in the arena. He spent an awful lot of time in jail. He spent a lot of time in his own house under house arrest. He was deserted by friends and preachers, and he saw them fall away from him right and left. And he had some of them he could say, these are faithful. Paul said, God is faithful. If you'd learn that, those three words, if you would really learn those three words, make that the object of your faith. What do I have to believe in? Well, of course, I say, believe the whole Bible, believe all things about Jesus, believe this. Believe. If you just took those three little words, it would change your life. Do you believe that? God is faithful. Man. What does it matter? God's still faithful. Who cares what happens? God's still faithful. God is faithful. That just stands out to me. What kind of God do I serve? I don't know about you, but I serve a faithful God. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his children. He's faithful to his church. He's faithful to you. He's even faithful to the lost of this world by having the gospel preached over and over and over again. It's on the radio going around the world right now. Radio and television, such a great means. The internet. You can learn about God almost everywhere. And then we've got missionaries that dedicate their life and their children and their time to go back in the bush to a tribe of 100 people and spend years learning their language so they can teach them the Word of God and so they can be saved. God is faithful. Now, the question is, are you? Well, let's go a little further. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able? Did you hear what I just read? Did you hear what I just read? Oh, this is the worst thing. Oh, I can't stand this. I gotta cry myself to sleep every night. Please, somebody come. Brother Kincaid, would you come out and hold my hand? Brother Kincaid, would you come out and pray for me? I'm hell! He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You ought to be able to handle them all. Is that what that says? As far as I'm concerned, that's what that says. You ought to be able to handle everything that comes your way. You got a faithful God, and one of the examples of his faithfulness, he will not tempt you greater than you're able to bear. He will not suffer you to be tempted greater than you're able to bear. He will not allow anything to come into your life you can't win. Are you a winner or a loser? World's full of winners and losers. Every time somebody makes money on the stock market, somebody loses. It's winner and loser all the time. And in life, there's winners and losers. Oh, you see them all the time. We're sitting right here. We win some, we lose some. But what does this say? God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. My time's up.